Oh my God. The train station scene
it
is
rocks.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, every beat of that, it just has the most
There's no
perfect
music.
Of pacing.
Yeah.
It's just this guy following this other guy around, and it's very clear that he has like no idea what he's doing. Like, he's not a trained assassin. He has no idea.
If I had to kill someone in a public space like this, that's how I would honestly do it. I found it very relatable because he's trying to like work up the nerve to do it, right?
Yeah.
Because you're following him the whole time while he's following the guy to kill, just a guy, whatever. And there are plenty of opportunities that he could do it, and he misses quite a few, but it's because he's like trying to work up the nerve to do it. There's no perfect opportunity, but he's trying to like also find like the perfect opportunity as well to like murk this guy. And I don't know, I found that very like relatable, like the way that he kind of like moves around and follows him and just kind of, it's kind of like, I don't know.
It's so nerve-wracking to watch this whole experience. And there's this great little tiny scene right when he gets into France. He's on one of those people movers. And at the end of the people mover, a guy just like trips off of the people mover. And it kind of feels like this one-off weird thing. And I couldn't understand why that's in there. Like, why would they keep that? There's no reason for it. But of course, when he finally does murder the man, it's on an escalator. And the guy falls off the escalator, or rather is killed on top of the escalator. It's a weird little parallel that I don't quite understand fully, but I love it. Like, I love that little, just tiny little detail of which they're like kind of suggesting that this is going to happen, even though it's just like this tiny little thing. And the whole chase is so tense and nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Because you're terrified that this man's gonna get caught, because he's not doing a good job at all.
You think he's gonna get caught too after the fact, because they show like all the security cameras,
yeah,
in which like he looks directly into the cameras. So you think like, oh my gosh, he's done for, they're gonna get him. But he doesn't, the police don't get him in trouble for some reason. Like, it just doesn't,
there's absolutely no problem with police. Or
yeah, there's like really no problems with police. I guess Europe is just different. I guess, like, I don't know, like, he's not a French guy, like, he's not a French citizen.
Maybe because he lives somewhere else, I don't know.
Maybe it's a little bit more difficult to search out if you're, like, an immigrant. He just doesn't get in trouble with any, like, law enforcement, which I like. I like that there's no, like, you could really, like, fuck up a movie like this if you added, like, a separate, like, law enforcement thing, where you add, like, a cop character or something who's like, we gotta find these guys. That would be so super corny if they added it into this movie. But in this movie, it's all about like the criminals, and it just completely focuses on them.
Yeah, having any sort of law enforcement involvement would have slowed down the pacing of this movie, because I think one of the best parts of this film is just the absolute incredible pacing. I mean, every moment of this film just feels exactly right for what should be happening. It never feels too slow. It never feels too fast. Everything feels just so perfectly paced. I mean, down to the single frame, just the way the camera moves and the way we move with it, and the way we follow these people, it all just feels almost like a puzzle in which each piece just perfectly fits with the next. And so without the involvement of the police or anyone, he basically gets away scot-free. He's like, I did it. But unfortunately, according to Raul, the job is not done. He thought it was a one-off thing, but there's going to be a second murder in which he has to commit.
I think too, around this time, you have like Ripley, he's in New York City. He lives in Hamburg, but he's in New York. You have that random part where, like, I think he starts to feel bad about, like, I don't know, fucking over Jonathan's life, over, you know, him being mean to him. And you have that crazy shot, too, where, like, he's, like, walking, like, on the interstate wall, like, in New York City, and it, like, zooms, and you're in, like, an apartment that has, like, all of the criminals that the French guy wants dead. Which that reminded me of something. I was trying to think what it reminded me of. Oh, he does that in Buena Vista Social Club, where like he'll be following a musician walking around, and then it'll stop, and then it'll zoom into the background, and then you have the other subject that he's talking with, which is like another musician or whatever. I think he likes to do shit like that, where you kind of like, people are closer than they think, you know, kind of a small world type thing. But Ripley, Tom, he goes back to Germany.
I believe it's between these two murders that Jonathan takes his wife and kid to the fairgrounds or circus or carnival, something like that. There's a roller coaster, and it's a wonderful scene because he's having like this serious conversation with his wife, but they show him riding on a roller coaster. They basically put a camera on the front of a roller coaster. It's a beautiful shot, and they're just like zooming around like back and forth. And of course, Bruno's face, Jonathan's face is super serious, just deadpan.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And that whole scene is just a beautiful and touching scene between a husband and a wife and her concern with what he seems to be doing. She doesn't know exactly, but she kind of is catching on because...
Yeah, she's getting more and more pissed off because he's like obviously hiding like some criminal behavior. It's like very obvious, like weird phone calls and stuff like that. Like, yeah.
She's no dummy.
And yeah, like Tom goes back to Germany. And he starts to like form a friendship with Jonathan. Like they start to actually get kind of chummy and stuff. Like he asks him to make some frames and things like that. And he makes it. And they just kind of start to form kind of like a friendship. It's a very like shallow surface level friendship. But they start to kind of like be chummy with each other and kind of like have some camaraderie going on. Yeah. And I think like soon after that, he has to go on a second assignment, right?
Yep. He's the second assignment on the train. A long train scene. Love a good train scene.
Yeah, there's a lot of train shit. Yeah, it's just Highsmith and I like the trains.
And this one, people are very concerned with because I think Tom's concerned about it because he's like, you need a professional for this because killing someone on a train, like, very different situation because you can't leave. Like, you can't leave the fucking train.
Yeah, it's difficult. That he has to kill like two people or maybe he just has to kill one people, but it's in a big group. It's the same group that we saw in New York City. Yeah, he has to like somehow like kill this one guy and try not to kill anyone else. But Jonathan's like, whatever, it doesn't matter. There's also probably kind of like an excitement to it, right? I would say the movie kind of progresses in a way where the more kind of crazy shit that Jonathan does, the more, I guess, exciting he finds it. So I think like he's like, yeah, I want to fucking, you know, I want to do it. Because he's like kind of going through like a weird, you know, health crisis. So he wants to do some exciting shit. And yeah, he's like on the train. And that train, that scene is really good too, where he's trying to like find a way to kill this guy. And then Tom comes out of fucking nowhere because he fucks up.
Immediately fucks up.
He like, I think he has his gun in the bathroom, right? And the guy opens the door, the guy he's supposed to kill, and he sees his gun. He's like, shit.